welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Once again, God, for this day, thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. Thank you for the praise and worship that has went forth thus far. For God, we know that we are here not for form or fashion, but to lift up the name of Jesus, God, to preach the gospel, to share with those that are in need, God. Now, God, use me, hide me behind the cross, God, that the people may see you and not me. In the name of Jesus, we do give you thanks, God. We thank you for everything that we have, God. We thank you, God, for you are God all by yourself, God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I greet you with grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time, thanking him for everything that we have. Today, I thought I would use a familiar passage. I know last week, if I remember, the preacher preached on about our service is kind of disconnected. Today, I want to use a familiar passage from the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 down to through 52. That's Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 down through 52. And if you have it, stand on your feet. In your heart, we just give reverence to God. It reads as follows. It says, "And then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So that they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' He says, 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." You may be seated. The thought for today, Lord, help me pace myself. We might be shut down, but we are not shut up. Yeah, we might be shut down, but we are not shut up. The pandemic in which we are confronted with is none like we have ever seen before. A lot of our non-essential businesses have been forced to close their doors and not operate unless they can do so by keeping what is called a safe distance. This social distancing has been very difficult for a number of us, trying to stay home as much as possible, avoiding crowded public places. This has interrupted our daily flow of life as we know it, pushing us to make decisions that may have life-changing consequences. Go out or not go out. Wear a mask or not wear a mask. Uber Eats or takeout. To close, too close, or not close enough? Do I need it, or can I get by without it? We got to make some tough decisions. Our current circumstance remind me of blind Bartimaeus, who could not see Jesus. His world extended only as far as his hands can reach and his ears could hear. But when he heard Jesus was passing by, he did everything he could to get Jesus' attention. It appears that he was shut down, but he just wouldn't shut up. If we as believers don't continue to run our mouth, how would people who are lost find Jesus? How would they find hope? How would they find relief if you don't shut up? Don't let the world make you feel like you are shut down because all the restaurants are closed. Don't make the world feel like you are shut down because the wine and spirit place is running limited hours. Don't let the world make you feel shut down because you can't go and see your favorite movie. I believe applying social distancing is necessary to help minimize the spread of this virus any further. But it has not stopped people from doing what they want to do. Even though the shelter in place order was put in place by all the states, it did not stop people from celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Just look at what happened in Chicago, where lines of people were backed up waiting to get inside the bars. Or the droves of people who descended upon beaches throughout Florida for swimming and fun. You see, COVID-19 is changing our way of life. And for some of us, that is unacceptable, thus causing us to take on a hedonistic mindset in pursuit of pleasure and self-gratification. I believe the states across our country are feeling the pressure by the government and other localities to reopen their economies despite the continual increase in the death rate due to COVID-19. We must not relax or become complacent, taking every precaution necessary to stay safe is extremely important. That's why I'm here and you are where you are. It does not mean our faith is any less, but our determination has to be greater. As Jesus traveled to Jericho, he came across a blind man named Bartimaeus who sat on the side of the road begging. See, in that day, blindness was a common affliction for which there was no cure, and all the blind person could do was beg. All they could do is just sit in one place. See, when he heard that Jesus was there, he started to yell out to get his attention. Blind Bartimaeus didn't have much tact, but he did have persistence and determination. Have you ever felt as if your life has come to a standstill? As if you have been relegated to the side of the road as the rest of the world just passed you by? In spite of the obstacles in his way, his inability to see Jesus, the opposition of the crowd, and our Lord's delay in responding to him, he still maintained his persistence. The people tried to quiet him. Shut up, don't bother the master. But he kept on crying even more. Let the truth be told, many of us are very good at having a woe is me mentality. We dwell on all the things that are going wrong in our lives, and we throw a full-fledged pity party to bask in our distress. And if we are really good at it, we will sit for hours meditating in our grief with no intention of getting up to change our situations. Some of us are complaining right now as I speak. Why can't I come to church and see Reverend Campbell in person? How long am I going to have to be cooped up at home? It's boring around here. And those of us who have children, these kids have gotten on my last nerve. When are these schools going to open back up? When is the daycare going to become the daycare? I need some help right now. I too sympathize with you about everything you are saying in your heart. But when we find ourselves in a place we cannot control, how do we choose faith over fear? Sometimes we look at the size of our condition instead of turning to the one that can ease our pain. Whenever you find yourself overwhelmed by life, you have two choices. You can force your circumstances, face your circumstances, or have faith in God to bring you through. Those who don't believe in God may be bold enough to play the fairness game, but Christians should know better. The world's definition of fairness is based on the sliding scale of society's values and the changing will of the majority. But God doesn't play by those rules. That's why he will never be fair from society's perspective. But he will, however, always maintain justice. Unlike fairness, justice is based on the unchanging principle of God's word. That's why God said his word won't return to him void. He said, whatever is written in this book, he said, I'm going to stand by it. That's my word. He said, you didn't see me write it, but I wrote it through men that were inspired to write what I say. He said, this is my word, and that's why it can't come back to me. He said, I stand by it. Now, even though you might read it, you don't always do what it said. He said, I'm okay with that because I'm God. But when it comes to me, he said, I stand by what I wrote. So today, I just want to highlight 2 points for you today. And I'll get out of your way. The first one is, when Jesus came by, he was ready. See, when Jesus came by, he was ready. Are you ready if Jesus decides to come by your way? You have already aired your complaint because I helped you with that this morning. I gave you a number of excuses to use already. Instead of looking at Jesus' reaction to their situations, sometimes as believers, we allow our situations to dictate our reaction. You see, when you want something bad enough, what lengths are you willing to go through to get it? Yeah, what are you willing to do? What are some things you had to do that you were embarrassed about? What about the promises you made to yourself that no matter how bad things, I will never ask so-and-so to help me? What about some of those promises that you've made in secret? Whenever you say what you ain't gonna do, we serve a God that'll make you eat crow. He will humble you to your knees. That's why you gotta be careful about what you say you ain't gonna do. You gotta be careful about what name you put in that blank space to say who you ain't gonna call. Because God has a way of making you know that he's God and he's in control, because that's why he stands on his word. See, Jesus is not impressed by pity parties. He's not moved by your arrogance or desires to sit around and wallow in your mess. Like Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus wants us to get up. See, our healing and deliverance is waiting in the palms of his hand. But he's waiting on us to get up, to move towards him, to declare what we need from him. See, we often say we are waiting on God, but maybe, just maybe, God is waiting on us. See, some people who suffer handicaps give up. They're not able to make much of a contribution, but others refuse to let one loss lead to many others. The blind man didn't let the loss of his eyesight keep him from doing what he wanted to do. See, instead, he relied on his other senses to help. That seems to be what this man did. Without his eyesight, he still was able to hear sharply. Without his eyesight, he still was able to listen. Without his eyesight, he processed what he heard, and he understood what was needed to be understood. "What do you want me to do?" Jesus said. Seems like a strange question if you ask me for a blind man. But Jesus wanted to give the man an opportunity to express himself and to give evidence of his own faith. What did he really believe Jesus could do for him? My brothers and my sisters, I believe we find ourselves today in the same predicament, calling out to Jesus. We may not be blind physically, but emotionally, our appetite, our personal cravings have been blinded intellectually, which has caused us to lose sight of who Jesus really is. Sometimes our own personal desires get in the way of what God is trying to do. He said he's just trying to stir up the gifts that are already inside of you. Sometimes we don't know what we already have. Sometimes we don't know what we can already do. And not because you have power, it's because of his real power that continues to resonate in our lives. He wants us to express ourselves to him and give evidence of our faith. See, tragedies like these can either drive people away from God or drive them to God. Calamities either harden people's heart or soften them as they run to the Lord for help and hope. See, tragedies, great and small, always make us need others, whether we admit it or not. I'm forever grateful not only for my family and friends who have come alongside of me to encourage me, to pray for me, but also for my family and friends who continue to help me day by day. Blind Bartimaeus had become accustomed to begging and using his blindness as a crutch. Sometimes we wallow in that predicament and we use that as a crutch to prop us up. But Jesus was moving this man in a new direction. His deliverance required him to get up and declare what he was believing God for. I challenge the church today to get up out of the comfort zone that you're in. Get up out of that mess that you put on yourself. God says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the whole world. In other words, God said, don't let nobody put that stuff on you. You're going to always be the way you are. That's why he said that if I'm inside of you, you can be more than conquerors. You can be what I've called you to be. He said, I've already seen your light flashing by, but you can't see it because you've allowed the voices of the crowd to drown me out. You can't even hear me no more. It's almost like you got earplugs in. He said, but I want you to know that today, yesterday, and tomorrow, forevermore, I'm still the same. I'm the God of your salvation. He said, I am in charge. If Jesus come by, will you be ready? Is the question. That's what blind Bartimaeus had to process. That's what he had to accept. Then the second point, don't let others stop your praise. Don't let others stop your praise. See, sometimes when people see you, they don't know why you're so happy. How you can be happy in the midst that you don't even have a job? They fired you last week. How you can be happy when I know you need something to eat because we've been bringing food to your house every day? How can you be so happy? How can you be so happy when you just had several loved ones be called on to glory? I don't understand it. What do you have inside of you that makes you happy? I'm crying every hour of the day about the predicament that we're in. And I see you, you're so happy-go-lucky. What is it that you have that I don't have? Don't let others stop your praise. Desperate people do not permit the crowd to keep them from Jesus. When Bartimaeus called Jesus Lord, he used the title Rabboni, meaning master. The beggar twice had called him Son of David, a national messianic title, but Rabboni was an expression of personal faith. See, this chapter contains some hard things for us to receive and practice. If we love the things of this world, we cannot love God supremely. If we are not yield completely to his will, we cannot obey him unreservedly. If we seek glory for ourselves, or if we compare ourselves with other believers, then we cannot glorify him. Go your way according to the text. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. See, the faith of the blind man saved him because it was a specific kind of faith. It was faith that was determined to reach Jesus. That's why he said he cried out all the more. It was faith that knew who Jesus was. That's why he said, thou son of David. It was faith that came humbly to Jesus. He said, have mercy on me. It was faith that humbly submitted to Jesus. He said, Rabboni, Rabboni. It was faith that could tell Jesus what he wanted, that I may receive my sight. See, Bartimaeus does not take his healing for granted. He doesn't head off to use the newfound sight to do all the things that I'm sure he has always wanted to do. But instead, he used his gift for the one who has given the gift. What are you doing with the gift that God has given you? The one that gave you the gift. Oh, I know you went to school and got your own education. God wasn't in it. I know you got the funding that you needed from the school. God wasn't in it. He didn't help you. And I know when you got the degree, when you walked across the stage, you did it yourself. I know the job that you occupy, God didn't have nothing to do with it because you were in the interview. When they asked you the questions, were you experienced? You told them, yeah, I'm experienced. Here's what I've been doing all my life. I know God doesn't get any credit for that. But the question is, the gift that God had given him, he used it. Because the text says he followed him. He says, Lord, I want to see. He replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight because your faith has healed you. Says immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising God. Bartimaeus' left life has been changed. He experiences the mercy and freedom he sought through faith in Jesus Christ. See, physical and spiritual healing is received. Bartimaeus' healing is instantly. The word heal has two dimensions in the original language. The first speaks of physical healing. The second one speaks of spiritual healing. Bartimaeus had both his sight and his relationship with God was restored. See, sometimes you think because you can see to get up in the morning, but what about your spiritual sight? What about your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can you really see him? Not with your eyes, but with your heart. Can you really know that he's there? Can you really know that he's the one that's navigating through the challenges of life? He's the one that gave you life. Can you really see him? Bartimaeus had both his sight and again, his relationship with God. How did Bartimaeus receive God's mercy? I'm glad you asked. I'm reminding you, he asked Jesus to heal him. He believed that Jesus could do it. And finally, he committed himself to follow him. See, sometimes when we ask the Lord for something, we're not really sure that he can do it. You know what gets in the way? It's been 2 days deep, and he ain't showed up yet. Don't he know this bill was due yesterday? When is he going to get here? I'm laying up in the hospital. They already told me I only got a few more days. When is he going to get here? See, that's what always get in the way. See, we see Jesus Christ, God's suffering servant, on his way to the cross, and yet he stops to serve a blind beggar. What love, what mercy, and what grace. Well, I'm done, but as custom, I got to tell you a story. I'm reminded of a trip my wife and I took when we went to Ghana several years ago for a wedding. We thoroughly enjoyed ourselves and had the time of our life. We stayed in a compound that was fit for a king. It had all the amenities that you could ever imagine. There was no cost to us at all because we were friends and honored hosts of the bride's parents. I later discovered that where we were, the electricity was hard to maintain. When the lights were flicker on and off, that was an indication that the power was on the verge of going out. Can you imagine being in Africa with no air conditioning, with no fan, with no circulation? Can you imagine being there now, given where we are? But one thing the owner had that I didn't know, he had a generator in another room. It would kick on just before the lights would go out. Well, preacher, while you tell this story, I'm glad you asked me. See, there are times in life when it looks like we may be flickering in and out, and we might be ready to give up because of the experiences of what we may be going through. But because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So when we start flickering in and out, it brings to our remembrance to not give up. God gives us the strength to allow us to stand and not give in. I'm so glad that blind Bartimaeus did not let his lack of sight keep him from calling out to Jesus. I'm so glad today that he did not let the outside voices drown out his voice. I'm so glad that his motivation was greater than his frustration. I'm so glad that when things look pretty bad, we have to look to God pretty hard to help us. We might be shut down, but I gotta tell you, we're not shut out. We have to be encouraged that in the midst of where we are, We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. What are your asking questions for Christ today? What do you want him to do? What are your needs? Because he is the supplier of everything that we have. He said the cattle on the hills belong to me. So no matter what we are, no matter where you find yourself in, God can heal you. He can bless you. He can encourage you. Whether you're on the telephone or whether you're on some type of device, he's still able. He can reach through the telephone lines. He can reach to any type of device. He can be the same place at the same time because he's God all by himself. And I'm grateful today for everything God has given us. I pray that blind Bartimaeus will be an encouragement that when you look at somebody else's blindness, when you look at Robert and his wife's blindness, don't have pity for them. Know that they're pressing their way through. They believe that God has blessed them and God has allowed them to still exist in the midst of where we are. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, God, that we are leaning and depending on you. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, as the word has went forth, that if anybody don't know you in the pardon of their heart, right now they would accept you as Lord and Savior. All they have to do is to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised them from the dead. Salvation is theirs. Is there anybody listening on the phone that don't know Jesus? Right now, we're praying for you. We're praying for your deliverance. We're praying that you accept him as Lord of your life. And I pray if you're listening via Facebook Live, just send a bubble up. Send a love sign up to let us know if you're outside the ark of safety. We want you to be strengthened. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you,
you're
Jesus.
You're the center of
thank you.
My joy.
Well, thank you, Father. Yes, God.
All that's good and perfect.
Thank you, Father.
Comes from you.